But one of the things that I was profoundly, so you can be embarrassed to stand, but profoundly just amazed by was Bob's just ability just to talk to people, just to open up the conversation. And I mean, even here we were talking a little earlier, he was talking about, you know, they were at a restaurant last night and he wanted to just start a conversation with somebody out of the blue. And it was kind of like a, whoa, I would never do that conversation. Anyways, but just the ability to do that. And so I asked him, I said, can you just talk to us about how to walk in, just start a conversation? Because isn't that, I don't know about you, but that's the hardest part for me, is to go up to somebody I don't know, because I want to witness them. But how am I going to start a conversation with them? So Bob, I'm going to just hand it over, and you can introduce yourself and Karen and go from there.
Good, thank you. Hey, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I have gotten to know a bunch of you, and still a bunch of you I don't know, and tomorrow morning all of your names I'll forget, so we'll start all over. So anyway, let's see, where do we start? A bunch of stuff. First of all, thank you, appreciate your support. We got an email from Jerry Smith at the Mission, and he said, you know, there's a church that's interested in supporting you guys, you know, looking into it, and he wrote to you a couple weeks ago, and you didn't answer, so if you're not interested, that's really okay, but they're great people. And I said, I never got the email, you know. So then, you know, then Bob got a hold of us again. They came on down. It was good to get to meet them. And so anyway, it's good. It really is. It's a pleasure to be here tonight and just good. One of the things I appreciate about tonight is so many of you have volunteered. Hunter volunteered. Hunter, would you do us a favor and just pray for this time? Is that okay? Yeah, you. Is that okay?
Sure.
You're the first of many volunteers. Thank you. I'm serious. I would appreciate just your prayers. God would use this time. Be a good time together. Okay? Thank you.
Lord, I thank you for bringing us all together here today. Lord, I thank you for this weekend. I pray that our talks and acts would reflect you and glorify you. I thank you for everything that you're going to do, and I pray that you bless the word tonight. Just now, I pray tonight.
Yeah, amen. Boy, tonight's just going to be, I think, you know, I've got all stuff written down on my computer. I don't know if I'm going to follow that. So anyway, just open your Bibles real quick. Maybe you know this passage, Colossians 4, 5, and 6. Colossians 4, 5, and 6 is kind of a shopping trip for ladies as they go to the mall. Okay, that's what that is. So the first person that gets it, read it. Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Yeah. Gerald. Never mind. No. It's okay. Go ahead. Who has it? Go ahead, Debbie.
You said 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time.
Yeah.
Let your speech always be with grace.
Yeah.
Seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one.
All right, right. There's a couple of things about evangelism and talking to people. A lot of times, you know, like Paul said, pray that God would give me boldness. And so that's going to be part of evangelism. But the other half of evangelism actually is what he says here. And he says it very clearly. He says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Outsiders is a technical term. Just means somebody who's not a believer. It's always used that way. So whenever you're talking with an unbeliever, he doesn't even mention boldness in this. What's he say? Be wise in the way you act toward unbelievers. Be wise. You're looking for opportunities. Making the most of every opportunity, or redeeming. And that's where a woman goes to a mall and somebody gave her a gift card of $500. And she's looking for all the best buys. That's the word redeeming there. Okay, buying up. And so God just says, whenever you have an opportunity, he says, I want you to be wise. But notice what he says. He said, I want you to be gracious. And he says, seasons with salt, so it's tasty. So in other words, when somebody's done talking with you, it's left a good taste in their mouth. That's what you want to do, okay? So anyway, just there. But actually, it's one of the best verses in the Bible about evangelism. Seriously, it's just one of the most complete, it's just very, very, very well-rounded. Now, a couple of people tonight have unwittingly volunteered just to share it with us a little bit. So let's see. Noah, how old are you? Noah, can you tell us how you got saved? Sweet, sweet. Now notice something. His friend didn't lead him to Christ, but his friend was instrumental in pushing that button.
If you could repeat a little bit, because
we couldn't hear. Oh, okay. He was talking with a friend, and the friend was talking to him about Jesus, and so then he went home and talked with his mom, and I think they just, you know, carried that out, and he prayed to accept the Lord. Right, right. Okay, good. Carrie.
Yes.
Yeah. Could you tell us how you got saved? Yeah. Okay.
And the church that I had gone to with my mother was very strict. My mother was Mennonite. And so I remember one day hearing about hellfire and brimstone from the preacher. Mm-hmm. So it was always boring, and I would just sit there and ignore it. But I remember hearing hellfire and brimstone would fall on your head. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you. Thank you. Chuck, how'd you get saved?
I got saved. I had moved to California, met Karen,
yeah.
And had a coworker that invited Karen and I to go to his church where God's Word was taught, and went there for probably about 8 months hearing the Word taught, and then there was a women's retreat that Karen went to. Karen was saved already. She went to the women's retreat, became convicted that she shouldn't be dating me because it was an unequally yoked situation. And while that was happening, the husband of one of the women she had gone to the retreat with led me to faith in Jesus Christ, shared the gospel with me, and I accepted Christ. So God removed the issue right at the same time that Karen submitted to his words.
Excellent. And how many years have you been happily married? Excellent. Excellent. Very good. Very good. Rodney, how'd you get saved?
I was 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, my dad would always just take us five kids and drop us off at the church doors and then go home and wait for us. Now, we had to walk back home, so I remember that just, you know, sitting there preacher gave the call, and I just felt the urge in my heart. And as I got up, at that time he would go down front, mm-hmm. met by one of the deacons, I guess, at the time. So, and probably a month later I was baptized.
Okay, very good. I have a question for you. How many of you went forward in church to receive Christ? How many of you went forward at a church service and received Christ? So less than 10, maybe 8-ish, right around there. Interesting. Okay. All right. Debbie, where's Debbie? Debbie, you're right there, right in front of me.
I was picked up from our neighborhood as a child, between 7 and 9, and taken to church. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And from that point on, I never did anything, never went to church. I was about 25 or 26. I ran into Jeanette Nichols, who was the woman that used to pick us up.
Okay.
And my life was out of control, and I began to talk to God about it. And I knew it started with God. I knew it started with church.
Sure.
That's all I knew.
Mm-hmm.
And he began to bring those remembrances back.
Sure.
And so about that church, where did that church go?
Yeah.
And I ran into Jeanette Nichols. I had seen her in 17 years,
mm-hmm.
and she invited me to church, and I recognized a bunch of people from when I was a kid.
Sure.
And it took about a year, you know, listening to Pastor Gilbert preach.
Okay. Wow, it took a year. It took a year.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a very hard-hearted.
Well, no, I mean, no, seriously, some people... Some people can take a life, but, you know.
Just too many painful walls that God had to break down.
Yeah.
A lot of brick walls in my mind,
yeah.
In my heart, and in my emotions. And I didn't trust people too good. And so I took about a year listening to the gospel.
Interesting.
Before the Holy Spirit just, was preaching, and it just.
Did you go forward? You went forward, okay.
Yes.
Was that normal in your church to go forward every Sunday? Did they always have an altar call?
No.
Okay, it was not a normal thing.
No.
I think I've done an altar call once.
Yeah. That,
yeah, I'm
so
just.
That's how, you know it's the Holy Spirit. There was the Holy Spirit. I was so convicted and so compelled by a power.
Interesting.
Outside myself.
Okay.
I needed to surrender.
Okay.
And be saved, and I did that.
Interesting.
And,
okay. How many of you came to Christ because somebody came and started talking with you, carrying on some kind of a conversation? Chuck, that happened with you? Right here? Brian, thank you. Brian, yeah, I get Jimmy. Okay, I got Jimmy back there. Okay. Anybody else? Two? You guys? Four? Did most of the rest of you come because you were involved in a church? Well, you did because kind of half and half. You're a hybrid.
I am.
Yeah, okay.
So I was coming straight from the
street. Right. Interesting, interesting, interesting. Okay.
But I remember Mrs. Nicholson.
Yeah.
I remember, I knew those people were different. And,
okay.
And it's all I ever remember that God brought back to my mind. All right. That I wanted what they wanted. Why were they different from what my reality was?
Okay. So. What is it that's most frustrating to you about sharing the gospel? What's most frustrating? Yeah. Yeah, okay. You live in a Baptist culture, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, we live in a church culture.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
A lot of them don't know accurately about Jesus.
Yeah.
They think they know enough. They think they already know about Jesus and often are not interested in hearing Jesus.
What's your response? What's the response of people when you try to talk to them? Yeah.
Try to get them to
right. But it's just kind of dead. They're just not interested.
Yeah, it's more often.
Okay.
The one answer that stuck to me is, why do I care if I go to hell? Because I'm dead. I won't feel.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Alrighty. So for you, it'd be a struggle. I don't know how to respond to their objections or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. What else makes it hard for you to share the gospel? Yeah, Marcia.
People who are so caught up in what they're living day to day, they're not interested in thinking about eternity.
Yeah.
It sounds foreign.
Okay.
Hard to get a conversation going about.
Yeah. Yeah.
I struggle with my own sin.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I got saved when I was 14, and I've always had a very strong conscience, which has been good, but I've had to learn to balance that. But what happens is that, Satan would say, oh, you can't talk to anybody because you have sin. And I just find that in my own life, the first thing that goes out the door is evangelism. There's any, you know, it's almost like my, do you know what I'm saying? If there's any, just right away, that's kind of what shut down. And I had to an extent, look at my life and say, you know, be careful about that. That might not be true. Now, obviously, if you're living in a life of sin, you know, that's difficult. But then the first person that I ever led to Christ happened before I got saved. Yeah. 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 I was just talking with someone. You know, I was talking with my friend, and I was, you know, I was talking to him. I was just sharing the gospel, and and he got saved, and a year later I got saved. Yeah. But I was, I don't know, I hope nobody hates me, but it was kind of, I was making the poor guy sweat because I was telling him about hell. And he was just, you know, and he was just getting all scared. And this is kind of funny, you know, and everything. Anyway, so I got saved a year later. All right. I think we were traveling the States for 40 days back in just mostly in July, a little bit in June and August, on furlough. And I just found that I had a number of natural opportunities to share the gospel. I love to share the gospel. That was the first thing the Lord impressed on my heart when I got saved, was just start sharing the gospel. And so I just love to share the gospel. And I've gone back to using Chick Tracks. You guys know what Chick Tracks are? I've got a bunch of them in my room. I emptied my thing out, I think. But they're just comic book tracks. And this was your life. They're just like candy. They're 25 cents a piece, but they're just candy. And it's just fun to give out, you know, and stuff like that. I think the biggest thing that's hardest for me about sharing the gospel is bridging. Just so many times, it's like, I don't know what to say. You know, I'm in a situation, and it's like, I don't know what to say. It's just the way it is. I just don't always know what to say. I just don't always have the right words. And the other day, we were on the plane. We grabbed a plane from San Juan to New York. And it just happened this way. So the guy sitting beside me was used to be a police officer, and now he's dealing in security and all that kind of stuff. He was all dressed and had all the gear and stuff like that. And he also had a couple of the bracelet, you know, the rosary bracelets on him. So I knew right away he was Catholic. And I'd gotten up at 4 in the morning, and I was tired, and my brain wasn't working the best. And, you know, get on the plane, and I'm thinking, What do I say? And I said, you're talking about this in 3 days and you don't know what to say? You know? And I just started thinking about the conference tonight. And it's just, I went to Evangelism Explosion years and years and years ago. And they just have two rules. And I found that over my life, I just continually use those two rules, which is basically this: find out about the person and find out about their spiritual life. Find out about their life, find out about their spiritual life. And there's a couple of things that have really helped me. Now, I don't know, how many of you would say you have the gift of evangelism? One? I'm it? Yeah, that was obvious to me in 10 seconds of talking to you. Yeah, okay. Anybody else? Come on. There's more than two of us here with the gift of evangelism. No? Wow. Okay. All right. Okay. I think one of the things that's always been hard for me when I go to talk to people is I feel like I have to bring them to a point of decision. Oh, forget it. Can it. That's my point. Okay? I just can it. Another thing... what happens when you do that is you put a lot of pressure on yourself, and I just don't think it's healthy. Let God work. Just let God work. Now, something my wife has always said, well, let the Holy Spirit lead you, you know. I'm like, okay. And I think the other thing, one, is that you've got to bring this conversation around. No, get rid of that pressure. And here's another one. I'm working with two, which is the me-you mentality. I have the truth. Listen to me. What happened with this guy is that, you know, we just start chatting, and here's the rule. What's the first thing you do? You start talking about, yeah, just talk to you. Be a friend. Show an interest. Just show an interest in him. Just show a genuine interest. It doesn't matter if it's a tattoo. It doesn't matter if it's a piercing. It doesn't matter if it's their children. It just doesn't matter. But just show a genuine interest in that person, okay? Love them. And that's just the first general rule. Show an interest in them. Comment about them. Talk to them about them. Okay? People like to talk about themselves. They do. You know? And one of the things that gets that I get angry about is that people don't want to talk about me. You know? So anyway, people, yeah, they like to talk. Just start showing interest in them. You know, and as an interest shows up, you sit there and you pray and say, Lord, you know, please give me an opening. And I don't remember how I bridged with this guy. I don't remember how I bridged. I'm just sitting there praying. It's like, Lord, I don't know what to say. You know, and I just, it worked. You know, and I found, huh?
You told me you were going to a conference and you were speaking.
Okay. Yeah. What happened, though, is that he was very Catholic, and so I did not take the mentality of, you're the bad guy. You know, no, well, think about it. You know, I mean, think about Paul. He goes to Athens, and he says, wow, I see, well, you know, people are very religious. You know, he didn't can them. He didn't, you know, he didn't do that. And so, you know, I didn't go after him like, wow, you know, you guys are lost, and, you know, I didn't, no, I just, it was more of an us thing. I was trying, you know, because he's coming at me as obviously as a believer. Oh, I remember what it was. His son is 13, and he plays piano. And, you know, he's artistic and such, and I'm not. And my son is, and my wife is, my daughter is. And he plays in the Catholic Church. And his wife, this guy's wife, works in the Catholic school. You know, this kid's 13. So, it just, you know, just started opening up. So just some mutual things. And I just started sharing some testimonies and talking about how I got saved. I just kept going back to Jesus. Just kept going back to Jesus. And it was very, very interesting because we got about an hour and a half in of talking. And normally on a plane, I'm very reluctant. I'm very hesitant, you know, because I don't like to box people in. I don't like to corner people. And God says, be gracious. Okay? And so I just don't like to corner people. Let God open a door. You know, work what you can. You know, do what you can. But I just want to be, you know, gracious. But I found somebody who was just very open. I mean, the whole time we're just sitting here, I just keep going back, telling him the gospel. And he's asking me questions, you know, and I'd ask him new questions. I said, well, what's the difference between the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church? You know, well, what's the difference? Well, the difference is that I only follow the teachings of the apostles and of Jesus. Is that sufficient? You know, do we need more than the teachings of Jesus? I mean, if I only had that, would that be sufficient? You know, that's something a Catholic has to ask himself. But here's the thing. The first thing I wasn't comfortable saying, so tell me, if you died today, why would you go to heaven? I wasn't comfortable asking him that. So what I did is I said, you know what, I was talking to a lady the other day and I asked her this. If you died, why would you go to heaven? I took it away from him. And you know, just trying to get this guy thinking. And then a little bit later, I said to him, I said, so tell me. You know, if you die today, why would you? Oh, I don't think I am. Oh, okay. And then I kept sharing the gospel with him, and I came to the point, and I said, so let me ask you a question. What's stopping you right now from trusting in Jesus as your Savior? And he says, wow. I mean, he admits it. He admitted it by a statement. He's not a believer. He admits it, and he says, wow. He says, I think when I do that, I have to give myself wholeheartedly. I said, really? So I said, if the plane were going down, you wouldn't be willing to crawl into Christ, you know? Or if you needed open heart surgery, you'd say, wow, give me a month to think about that, you know? So anyway. So there's some things I'm throwing out to you this morning, or this tonight. First of all, first principle is? Yeah, talk about them. You know, talk about them. Find something, you know, just start a conversation. And here's the thing, it might not ever go anywhere beyond that. That's all right, you know. Sometimes I carry a weight because I'm very aware of people going to hell, and it bothers me. And I wake up in the middle of the night, and I know people are going to hell. And I came to a point, I was thinking about it again last week, and I was thinking, you know, whatever's true, whatever's good, whatever's lovely. And I thought, I don't know if that's what I should be dwelling on. You know, there's a balance there. You know, and so there's sometimes you just have to let that go and say, this is in God's hands. You know, these are in God's hands. But I think just showing interest in people. And it may not be today and it may not be tomorrow. You just don't know. But just you open a door, you know, showing interest in that person. And then, you know, you start looking for other options, you know, because how can I bring in the gospel? Now, for me, seriously, it's somewhat easy. Well, what do you do? And you know what normally happens when people say, what do you do? And I tell them, you know what that happens? Shuts down the conversation. That's it. It just dead silence. You know? Sometimes you just don't know what to do. You guys like fish?
Fish?
No, two fish. You like to go fishing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. I love to go fishing at Walmart. That's my favorite place to fish. I just don't like to fish. I just don't. I don't care for fishing. I don't care for hunting. I just, you know, I just don't care for that. But evangelism really is a lot like fishing. And here's what it is. You throw it out. You throw out a piece of bait. I mean, one of the things you can do is, like, you're sitting at a restaurant, and it's not that I do this all the time. You forget. But you're sitting at a restaurant, you know, the waitress is coming, and you say, hey, by the way, I'm going to pray. Is there something I can pray about for you? No, I'm good. Okay, thank you. You know, or Jimmy, you know, and then another time I went back to the same restaurant in Valeria, she said, oh, would you pray for me too? You know, so I pray for him. I pray for him about every day, you know. But that's what it is. You're looking for people who are open to the gospel. Felix is a neighbor. He is just a... He just is atheist. He just doesn't care. He's just an atheist, you know. I'm just waiting. Felix is a friend. He calls me Reverend Bob. You know, I call him Deacon Felix. And I'm just waiting, fishing. I'm just fishing. I'm just waiting. You know, one of these days, possibly, the Lord's going to smack his life, and his friend is going to be there and be an opportunity. So it's like fishing. Another thing is evangelism is like planting a garden. In what sense? Jonah, in what sense is evangelism like planting a garden?
It's like throwing out seed.
Yeah. All right, so you plant a seed, and then what do you do with the seed? When you have a seed planted, what do you do?
Water.
Yeah, and pull weeds and...
fertilize.
Sure, you do all that. And yeah, that's just what it is. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, let me see. Yeah, I wrote down three things. Yeah, let God open a door. I mean, you're looking. Let God open the door. I don't like to back people into a corner. Don't make them unnecessarily uncomfortable. That's me. God give you wisdom as you deal with things. I talk about hell. Okay, I don't shy away. But it's not like I'm right out there, you know, in your face, you know, something like that. So let's talk about how to bridge over. That one to me is a hard one. So I asked this guy on the plane, oh, so what church you grow up in? Now, you can say to somebody, what church do you go to? But what happens is that I'm putting them in a little bit of a corner. You know what I'm saying? Because maybe they don't go to church. If I say, what church did you grow up in? You know, I'm opening the door without attacking them or anything. You know, that's just me. That's just my personality. So that's what I do. How can I pray for you? Might be another thing that you could say to somebody. How can I pray for you? Karen's very good about this. And that is that she will just bring God into the conversation. You know, yeah, you know, God took care of us. We were really praying about this. We had some financial need or we had this, you know, or when we found our house or whatever, you know, God was good and just let it go. Just let something out there. Depends who you're talking to. You know, bring God into it. Give thanks to God. Do something like that. Yep. Okay. Listen, guys, I'm sorry. I'm sure that maybe there's something, there's a lot more ways, but those are just the basic ways that I know of. Okay? It's just bridging that thing. That's how I bridge over. You know, I ask them about their religious life. Or are you going to, it depends. You have to look at things, you know. Do you believe in God? You know, do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus? You ever thought about those things? And that's where a little bit of boldness comes in sometimes. Is you're willing to take that stand? Okay. What happened with the Samaritan woman in John 4? All right, so we're coming along. And what's he do? Opens a conversation. He doesn't compliment her. He says, can I have some water? Right? Just opened a cup of conversation. Can I have some water? What did he say next? Did he say something like, if you know who you're talking to, and you're the gift of God? Yeah, right, that you had that conflict there. Right. 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 And, well, he was a rabbi. Rabbi did not talk to women. And rabbi would never talk to a Samaritan woman, especially a woman who was probably, well, she'd been married 5 times and she was living with a guy. Okay, so he wouldn't talk to her. So why are you talking to me? Okay. So then he said, if you knew the gift of God and who it was asking you, you would have asked and he would have given you living water. And then, you know, she says, well, sure, I want that living water. Go ahead and give it to him. And he says, go call your husband. I don't have a husband. That's right. That's true. You've had 5. The guy you have now is not your husband. Okay. About that time, the disciples come. So she goes into the town. And it's very interesting because she makes a statement. She says to the townspeople, she said, it's in Greek, it's a second-class condition. She's not convinced. This isn't the Messiah, is it? And the way she asks the question in Greek says, no, he's not the Messiah. She's not saved yet. That's how I understand it. She's not saved yet. Jesus is just, he's just throwing out the seed. That's what he's doing. He's what he's doing. He did not at that point in time bring her to Christ. It's just, he's just throwing out the seed. He's given time to plant and giving time to work.
She was pondering how this man could tell her everything about herself.
Yeah.
Right. She just happened to see at the well.
Yeah, so. Right. Okay. What have we learned tonight so far? If you're going to talk to somebody about, if you're going to try and talk to somebody, what would you do? What would you start with? Excuse me? Yeah, talk about them. Talk about them. Huh? Yeah.
I mean, for me, that's the first part.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I think that was hard for me when I first started off because all I was concerned about is just getting people saved. Yep. And through the years, you start learning, you know, life happens, you know, things come in your life. We lost a daughter, and that was very hard. And she was just a newborn. And it's like, if you lose a newborn, it's that hard. What happens if it's an older child or spouse or something like that? Oh, that's got to be heart-wrenching, you know. And just those kinds of things make you care more. You just learn. So, yeah, so you would, how can you bring it around? What are some ideas? What are some ideas for bringing a conversation around? What can you do? Right. Right.
I started
a Right. So that would be our first step, is just showing an interest in them, talking about them, doing something about them. How can we bring that around?
What church did you grow up in?
All right, yeah, what church did you grow up in? Yeah, that's a possibility. Yeah, you know what it is, guys? I love tools. Bob and I are kind of handyman. I like handyman kind of stuff. I had a transmission shop when I was 17, and I like tools. The more tools you have, easier the job is. And that's what evangelism, too, is you gain more and more tools, okay? You just gain tools, things you can do. So, right, what church did you grow up in?
Ask them what you can, you know, is there anything I can pray for
you? Right. Yep, exactly. Is there something I can pray for you about? Right. Yep.
Life, however, whatever
yep. Right.
To God.
Right. Bring in Jesus.
Bring it, yeah. That can lead into the spiritual
right.
So, you know, I love Jesus. What do you believe? Or,
yeah.
You know,
yep.
What do you think about church?
Yep. You know? Just, yep, that's right.
The next question I usually ask people if I give the opportunity is when they start sharing with me what they really think and believe about God, Jesus, this and that, I ask them how they've learned that. Where did they learn that from? Who told you that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just you really
want to
get a little deeper.
Yeah. Here's what I find, guys, too. You know, I'm just looking. One of the things that's hard for me is to make contact with people, which is like when I'm traveling, it's so nice because I'm constantly coming in contact with people. It's like, you know, last night I had to make change for 20, so I went and gave the gal at the gas station a $20 bill, and I just said, I want 5, and so she gave me change. I said, oh, by the way, I gave her a track. I said, oh, by the way, last night I just said, you know what, you're going to like this. Simple. You know, it's just let the track do its work, you know. Or most of the time, when I hand out a track, I say, you know, Jesus changed my life when I was 14. You know, I just like to share it. Simple, okay? I'm fishing. I'm just fishing. And I'm looking for opportunities. When I find somebody who's interested, then I work with that fish. If I've got somebody who's nibbling, I start working with them, okay? And you ask God for wisdom, and you start working with it, okay? Guys? It doesn't matter if we have the gift or not. Because God has said to all of us, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be gracious, seasoned with salt, tasty, so that you might be able to respond to each man, because everybody's different. You know? And so you're just out there, and you're just sowing a little bit, or you're looking and you're trying and just sharing something about Jesus, just bringing in Jesus, and let God do His work. And that's what I had to do with this man on the plane, you know, because he wasn't ready to pray, you know, and I didn't feel comfortable, you know, I just wasn't comfortable doing that. I took him up to that point, and then I gave him a track. I said, you know, you'll really enjoy this, and I left it. I said, you know, here's my email address, which is really easy for him to remember. And I just pray for him. Okay? So, step one. Yeah, talk about him. Step two. Yeah, ask them about their religious, their background. Bring God into the conversation. Share what God has done for you. Okay? Let me ask you a question. What change has God made in you before and after salvation? Okay. Yeah. I was riding my unicycle about 14 years ago. I was riding my unicycle down the street, and a guy yells out at me. He said, "Hey, buddy, you lost a wheel," in English. Okay? "Hey, buddy, you lost a wheel." Ah, so I jump off, and I go over, and I start talking to him. What did I find? I found somebody who was hungry. And he said, I'd went down every day and I'd talk to him because he worked just right in front of the school selling hot dogs to the kids at school and candy. And Rob said, he said, nobody ever answered my questions. You know, he had questions about God. He says, nobody ever answered my questions. And about a month later, it was into September, and I said, Rob, it's time to make a decision. And he came to my house and he prayed to accept the Lord. A week later, he's at Pep Boys. He goes in to buy a package of screws. And the package he wanted to buy was open, and the one screw he needed was on the ground. He spent 15 minutes wrestling with his conscience. Should he just pick up the screw and walk out? 15 minutes, because his conscience was awake. And he finally decided to buy the whole package. You know, that's what he did. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Right, you open a door. That's right. Yeah, make a comment. Bring God into it. Good deal. Okay. Nothing else comes to mind right now. So I need to let it go. Right? I'm looking forward to sharing with you guys. I've got five sessions. I am. The things we're going to be talking about, it's just become kind of a life theme for me. And I'm just really looking forward to sharing about this. It's changed the shape of our church. One of the things I would like to be doing in the next months is I would like to start taking groups out to evangelize. One of the things that we do is we paint houses. And so I can go door to door and I can say, hey, you know, and people are coming to know us. And hey, we paint houses for free. You buy the paint and, you know, we'll do the work. And what happens is that it opens doors. It just opens doors. So not all of it is just, you know, sitting beside somebody on a plane. Some of it is going out in your community and serving your community and, you know, looking for opportunities. Okay? I'm done. We good?
Yep.
All right. Should we pray?
Yep.
We good? What are we doing after this? We're all...
So after this, we do whatever, but generally people will head back up, and those who haven't unpacked can unpack and that kind of stuff, but the conference room up there in the conference center usually becomes the game